shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
A little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
It's Monday, the 20th of September, and as grand final week finally begins, it's time for another edition of Triple M Footy's news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy. I've got Tom on the phone from WA. And Tommy, we have to start with a story on everyone's lips, your white Brownlow suit. What was going on there?
Well, Rudy, I didn't bring a dinner suit on the road down to Tasmania and across to WA, and it was strictly black tie. So I was faced with two choices. I could either go to the higher place and just get another black suit, which is like everyone's wearing, and they never quite fit properly, and I could just sort of slip in with the crowd, which is fine. Or, at my own expense, I went to MJ Bale. I organised a little discount through our friends at MJ Bale through a player agent over here, Colin Young. And I thought, oh, geez, there was a couple of dinner suits like ones I already owned back in Melbourne. Or there was this sort of linen coat jacket that just stood out. And I was looking for some inspiration, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to go for it. So I tried it on, and it looked okay, and I gave it a whirl on the red carpet. I think that was it Zorko in a similar, might have been in a similar jacket. There's a couple of players that obviously can pull it off because they're cut and they're ripped better than I am. But I gave it a whirl, and I must say most of the feedback has been positive. So it probably looked better in person because I had the black pants and the black RMs on, and it looks sort of more dinner suit-y on camera. It probably would have looked more Richie Beno, the bone, the beige, the off-white, the white, or the ivory. But what did you think, Rudy?
I thought it was pretty good, mate. I thought you pulled it off.
Good. I appreciate that. I've been sort of eating out of home for a month, so I'm in okay nick, not brilliant nick. I've been walking, but eating from Uber, basically, because especially in isolation. So I was a bit nervous about the sizing and all the rest of it, but I'm glad it looked all right.
All right, let's stick with the Brownlow theme, Tommy. Ollie Wines, a deserving winner, equaling Justin Martin's record of 36 votes. Excellent count, probably the best we've had for some time. What did you make of the night?
Well, I thought it was a great night. The AFL didn't have a huge amount of time to organise it, I mean, particularly given the Perth component. So I thought the AFL pulled off a brilliant night. In terms of the count, I thought it was interesting. I mean, we're seeing it now, umpires clearly gravitate towards, for want of a better term, giving votes to the more famous players. I'm not surprised by that. I mean, what does it mean for next year? Probably means that Walsh and Parrish will poll even better because they're clearly front of mind for the umpires. I thought it was the right result in the end. Wines had a phenomenal season, and I'll get to the Wines story shortly. He's just spoken at Crown, which is where I've been. You know, in terms of Bontempelli and Oliver, they're a bit stiff. They polled a lot of votes. It would have been a bit of a flat feeling in terms of, you know, polling all those votes and not winning. It sort of counts for nothing in a Brownlow sense now. But I think, you know, this week really is about, well, the Brownlow last night, don't get me wrong, but about the grand final. And I wonder whether Goody or, you know, Luke Beveridge would have been almost happy that they didn't have to sort of deal with any Brownlow distractions today, because this week is genuinely about the big prize, which is the team prize, which is the grand final. But the Brownlow is a special event. I thought it was brilliant that Ollie Wines won. He just spoke this morning. I mean, he's just been through so much adversity. Like at one point he was going to get traded, was it to Carlton? He got dropped from the team. He got dropped as captain, had the water skiing accident. I think it's been sort of in and out of favour, or seen had differences of opinion with Ken Hinckley at various times, and Ken's pushed him to a place, which is what the coach's job is, to get the most out of their players, and he's got him to a place where his player in Wines, who's a brilliant guy, just a fantastic person, has recorded the equal highest number of votes, I think, in Brownlow history. So I think it's a great story for Port Adelaide. You know, and Wines was keen to emphasise, you know, he sees it as a team award in that sense, which I know is a politically correct thing to say, but I think it's a good point. I mean, you know, he's obviously had a lot of support there, and Ken Hinckley's played a big role in that, as has Michael Voss. And Wines gave a big endorsement, which we'll get to shortly, of Voss and his attributes in terms of running the leadership program at Port. And running their development. And also, I think he's a really good mentor for Wines, and he was very positive about Michael Voss's influence this morning. Just in terms of the count, I'm a big fan of Jack McRae, Rudy, and he, you know, gets so many touches. And he only polled 14 votes last night and didn't poll any votes in two games where he had 35-plus touches, which I thought was a bit unusual. But the Brownlow's always produced anomalies, and that's sort of part of the charm of the night. I mean, Josh Kelly at the Giants, for mine, was the outstanding player for them for the year, didn't win their vote count. You know, it's just, it always produces anomalies, and last night was no different. And I thought it was a brilliant night. And at the end of the day, I thought it was a very fair winner. It's clear that Parrish got votes at Essendon, A, because he had a good season, but B, because they haven't got a, you know, huge array of vote getters at the moment. So he benefited from that, as did Steele. And then Petrarca and Oliver take votes off each other. So I think it was a great night.
Yeah, I think Wines made a lot of sense as a winner in that way, didn't he? Because he was in one of the preeminent teams of the season, and he didn't have one of those really brilliant offsiders taking votes off him in the way that Oliver and Petrarca, and to a lesser extent Max Gawn, would. So it kind of made sense to me that Wines won. He also plays very Brownlow footy, really contested sort of stuff right under the ump's nose. So I was quite happy for him. And like you said, he's faced a bit of adversity. So really lovely for the boy from Echuca. Now, Tommy, you mentioned before that this is the grand final week. It's all about the grand final. Melbourne training earlier, during the end of last week, Charlie Spargo off injured. What happened there?
Well, there's some intrigue surrounding Spargo. So Melbourne, just for context, had this sort of match practice session on Saturday night at Lathleen, which is West Coast's training oval here in Perth. And Spargo rolled his ankle in a fairly innocuous incident. It didn't look like much. The AFL cameras picked it up. We picked up the aftermath. He was even playing basketball, just sort of mucking around with the guys after training. So there's not much wrong with it, according to Melbourne. It hasn't needed to be scanned. They think it's just a jarred ankle, and they think he'll be fine. Having said that, Melbourne's trained this morning up at Joondalup, up at the stadium up there, and Spargo wasn't doing much. My cameraman's up there as we speak, and he's only walking laps. We'll have those pictures on the news tonight. So it's an interesting little injury adjunct or issue for Melbourne early in the week. I don't think there's much in it, but I guess we'll find out, you know, at selection and on grand final day. I mean, they keep saying that May's fine. Having said that, May didn't do much on Saturday night either, or Saturday evening either. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens from Melbourne's selection standpoint, how much they're telling the truth. I mean, it's not, you know, they're not really obligated to sort of give away their secrets in grand final week. I wouldn't be. So that's sort of Melbourne's situation this morning.
Yeah, you know it's grand final week when there's selection intrigue on a Monday. I love it.
I think they'll have their main session, both teams, on Wednesday, because both teams will have a captain's run, I think, at Optus Stadium in front of, I think, up to 20,000 fans on Friday. So Wednesday really shapes as the main session now for both groups.
Yes, and we can't wait for that. Let's chat a bit of Carlton, Tommy. Sounds like it's down to more or less two candidates for the coaching role.
Yeah, my understanding is, and I've reported over the weekend, it's down to Voss and Kingsley. Obviously, Gene Siracusa is highly rated, but I think he was described to me as being on the second line now. So it's down to Voss and Kingsley. There's a big whisper going around that Carlton are after Clarko. I think as a general proposition, that's true. There's no doubt Brian Cook, who's now the CEO, is interested in Clarko. But it's my mail over the weekend, again from the Clarko camp, that nothing's changed insofar as, you know, the fact that Cook's come on board doesn't change Clarko's decision that he wants to have a year off. And I think it's Carlton's view that Clarko is not gettable. Like he does want to have a year off next year. So, look, that's not going to stop them trying. Don't get me wrong. I even asked Patrick Cripps last night on the red carpet whether he'd join this push to give Clarko a call. But I don't think Clarko's going to change his position. But it's absolutely the deadline now. Carlton, with the trade period, want to make a decision on the coach this week or early next week. So time is of the essence in terms of this decision. I think Clarko's now, I think even Carlton now acknowledged that Clarko's an absolute no, absolute, absolute no. And it's really down to Voss and Kingsley. It's interesting. I think Kingsley's highly rated by Carlton selection panel from a strategy perspective. And there's a lot of high-profile people in football, I understand, that have given feedback to Diesel and to the selection panel that vouch for that Kingsley's good on his vision of what his football team would look like and so forth. And I think Voss is just hungry because he's had this Port Adelaide experience and he wants another go and he thinks he'd benefit from his 5 years of senior coaching experience. I've asked the Port guys over here in Perth who were at the Brownlow how Voss is different. And I think he's more empathetic now. I think Voss might be a bit like Bucks back in the day. Like, you know, they're such brilliant players. A lot of people reckon that Voss was the best player they've ever seen. There's people I rate in football highly that reckon Voss was the best player they've seen. So perhaps he didn't always relate to the guys that didn't, weren't automatic sort of successes or automatic stars. I think he's improved immensely in that area. He's obviously a very good mentor to a lot of guys at Port Adelaide. And apparently, tactically, he's really improved as well. So I think Voss is obviously a strong candidate, as is Kingsley. So that's the conundrum or decision that Carlton now face. So that's their situation.
So, yeah, one to watch there. And you reckon late this week or early next?
I think Carlton know they must make a decision this week or early next week, particularly with trade and all sorts of things. They've got to get on now and make a decision.
Indeed. All right, one to watch there. Tommy, you've got a new trade name.
Yeah, Laddams has come up in trade discussions from some of my discussions yesterday, last night in particular, and this morning. It's my understanding that Ken Hinckley may have indicated to him that if he was to find a suitable alternative that might suit both parties, that's getting around sort of the trade landscape. So just expect his name to pop, well, was popped up obviously in our podcast, but expect that to gain some traction this week. There's a possibility that it's certainly getting around club land that he's potentially available, put it that way.
Interesting. Very interesting. One to watch there. I think we can leave that there, Tommy, and we'll have you in again on Wednesday morning to chat more footy.
Just briefly, it was a good after party last night, Rudy.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. We can't go without some chat about the after party. Go on.
All my mates asking about it. I stayed very straight because I just was obviously working and had a good discussion with Nat Fyfe. He's an absolute beauty. Had a good discussion with all the Port guys really enjoyed that. And it was a really good party, Paddy Cripps. It was fantastic that so many people were there last night and Stephen Canelio, and I really enjoyed it. So, it was a good night. It was at the waiting room at Crown over here. And it sort of finished up about 1:15, which wasn't too bad because the event started relatively early. But it was a good after party last night. Ollie Wines was there until the end. So was Gil McLaughlin. So it was fantastic.
Ollie Wines done well to get to the end and then back up and do his Brownlow media commitment this morning.
He said he had a couple of hours sleep. He wasn't drinking too much last night. I think he was just taking it all in and really enjoying the Brownlow with his teammates, and it was great to see them there. Chris Davies, who's the Port Adelaide football manager, is a great guy. Like I know there's a lot of fantastic people in footy, but he just really stands out. He enjoyed himself and helped organise the notes for Ollie Free Speech, which I think they've published.
I haven't seen them yet.
Put out this morning, and there's really a good culture at Port Adelaide, and I think they had a tough week, obviously losing that preliminary final, so it was a nice reward for them last night, and I thought it added to the Brownlow the fact that the Port guys had made it across to Perth and when we're in the room, particularly Ollie.
Yes, it sounds like Port get the Tom Brown tick of approval, and I think one of the iconic moments from that Brownlow will be in the future, the one that people will remember is Ollie Wines knocking back the champagne for the beer. Great stuff.
I like that. And it was his mum that said he when he was a young boy his name would be Bam Bam.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, Tommy, I'll let you go, mate, and we'll see you again on a Wednesday morning.
Thanks, Rudy.